You guys can have a seat. Thanks, Mr. Jeffrey. All right, like I said, let's try to scoot in a little bit. So if we can, like the first four chairs or five chairs maybe in the center up front. I won't spit on you. I won't bite. I promise. Okay, we're going to, if we're going to be family, we got to act like family. And that means sometimes like sitting near each other. Yeah, we are family. Going to get some singing, some dancing, all that kind of stuff. Hey, if you haven't been here before, here's what we do. We've got Bibles over by the sound booth if you need one. We also have these things right here. They are called student guides, all right? And here's how it works. If you don't know, everybody listen up. These student guides right here, it has some notes for you to take on the front, and then inside, it has got some questions for you to work through this week in order to be prepared for journey groups on Sunday night. On the back cover, you need a student guide. All right. On the back side, there will be different announcements and things. So at the end, if you will do this, this is probably the easiest way to go. When you get done in here at Lyft, you'll go get into your car with your parents, show them the back so that they know what is coming up and they know what to bring you to register you for, all that kind of stuff. And then throughout the week, work on those journey group questions. Go in and read, like, you know, write in the stuff for this week, your name, your school. Think about what hobby you're going to share with everybody that you enjoy, okay? And then put down a memory from this summer. Boom. That way you're not like freaking out about it. When it's your turn on Sunday night, you're already prepared. You're ready to go. So make sure you do that. Utilize it. This is also going to help you to grow in your understanding and knowledge of Scripture because it's going to make you think about what the passage says and remember it. Studies show that, and this is really important, if you go to school and then you're looking at college one day, look, going over your notes after the class makes you like way more likely to actually remember the things if you go over it again within like 24 hours. Like, it's incredible. So if you do that, maybe tomorrow spend some time looking over these notes, and then you'll be ready to go on Sunday. Tonight, we're going to look at something that's going to be super applicable for you as you go back to school and as you're having to be around people that maybe you've been able to avoid through the summer because you're not in a school environment with them and you're off doing family vacations or doing a camp and they're doing their thing. But now that school is coming back in, you're forced to be around some people that maybe have done you wrong in the past or people who talk about you behind your back. And so this message tonight is going to be very important for you to learn. It's very important for you to be able to know this and make it part of who you are, because as you grow up and go through life, you are going to come in contact with people who aren't going to treat you the way that you would want to be treated. And so the way you respond to that situation is going to depend and be founded on this principle tonight. And if you are able to take this principle that God has given for how we ought to go into those circumstances, you are going to end up a person who is not bitter. You're going to end up a person who everyone else isn't trying to avoid because you've got a chip on your shoulder all the time. And it's going to actually help you out, but there is some difficulty involved in it. There is some part of it where you're going to have to show initiative and you are going to have to go beyond what is required of you, but it is what God is calling you to do. Tonight we're going to talk about the concept of forgiveness. And I think it's great that we sang those songs tonight because as we look at the kind of forgiveness and the kind of people that Jesus desires for us to be, it is going to be someone who knows what God has done for us and then is able to, in return, look at how we ought to love others in light of that. So tonight, if you don't have your Bible open yet to it, look at Matthew 18. That's where we're going to look at tonight. Last week's big question, if you were here, or the week before, actually, because last week was a food fight, which was ridiculous and disgusting, and I don't even know what half the stuff was that was on top of me, and I put the event together with Pastor Izzy and Miss Hannah, so yeah, it was smelly. So 2 weeks ago, we had talked about how can someone live in harmony with God. Tonight, we're going to bring it in a little bit closer than that. We're going to be talking about how can we live in harmony with others. Because the fact of the matter is, we're all sinful people. We are all broken in aspects, relationally. And so when we come in contact with other people who are also broken and in need of repair and in need of God's work in their life, we are going to have arguments. We're going to have interpersonal conflict and these struggles, and there's going to be cat fights and punch outs and all this kind of stuff that happens all around us and even in our lives. And so the way that we react to it has a lot to do with whether we can live harmoniously, okay, in harmony with others. So we're going to look at this passage of Scripture tonight in order to hopefully be able to answer this question for us. So let's look at Matthew chapter 18. If you see verse 15, Jesus talks about if your brother sins against you. And basically what he's saying is, if somebody does something wrong to you, what do you do? And if you don't know about this passage, I encourage you to read it this week as well, because what he says is, you don't need to go and gossip to everybody about what's going on. You don't need to make a big deal about it and share with all these people that aren't even involved and can't do anything about it. What you need to do is you need to go to that person that has done something to you, and you need to address it with them. If they don't address it, then you can bring in someone else into the situation who is another believer and say, hey, let's go and talk to this person. And you don't go to that person in order to beat them down and say, hey, you hurt my feelings, you're a terrible person, and I don't even care about you anymore, whatever. And see, you saw that because you came with me, and now, boom, you know, all right? That's not the attitude here. The attitude is, hey, man, you really hurt my feelings, or this was something that you did that was wrong in this case. You stole from me, Ben. I can't even believe that you would do that to me. I felt very unloved, and let's work towards what you can do in the future, okay? The idea is we want to restore the relationship here. We need to fix what that sinfulness in our lives has broken. And we can't do that if I'm unwilling to forgive, or if Ben's unwilling to forgive, or whatever, whoever is involved. If there's no forgiveness, then you're not going to be able to move forward. You're going to be stuck at this certain point in time in how you relate to someone, and you're never going to be able to move forward. And so Jesus talks about that, and this is a really good passage. Like, we talk about this as pastors. I remember learning about this at the Christian university I went to. This is how, if you have a fight with someone, if there is conflict in your life, this is where you need to go to in order to find what Jesus says about reconciling and fixing that relationship. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's not going to be overnight. Everything's better. But this is the way that we go about doing it. And now he's going to tell a story, a parable, right after it, about a master and two servants and the way that these three people interact together. It's fascinating, okay? Remember the time that Jesus is talking? How long ago was it, approximately? Was it 5 years ago? Okay, how long ago was it, approximately? Approximately a long time, okay? So if you don't know, There's different dating systems that we use, but AD is a very common one, okay? AD comes from Latin Anno Domini, which means, okay, in the year of our Lord or after Christ. So it's talking about after Jesus came. So then if we look at, we're in 2017 AD, or some people use CE, which means common era. That's kind of like denying that Jesus existed and was like a clear cut in history. But basically, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus is telling this story. He's talking to a mostly Jewish crowd, and he's going to share this story because Peter comes up to him in verse 21 and says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Hey, Megan, can you turn my mic down just a little bit? It's the first channel, all the way on this end. Thanks. Okay, so Peter asks, how often, if someone sins against me, how often do I have to forgive him? As many as seven times? And this is, referring back to Old Testament law that had to do with forgiveness. And some of the places it went up all the way to seven times, it talked about forgiving. And so Peter thinks that he's really setting the bar pretty high here. He's like, as many as seven times? And everybody's like, whoa, seven times? That's a lot of times to forgive someone. Well, here's the thing. As you go through life, you're going to realize people are going to hurt you more times than just seven times in your life, okay? Especially as you have tighter relationships and you get to know people, they will hurt your feelings. They are going to do things that were wrong to you. You're going to do things that are wrong to them. You're going to hurt their feelings. Things are going to happen, and you're going to have to work through it and process through. Peter sets this standard, and Jesus says in verse 22, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Scholars kind of disagree a little bit about what he means here. If he means 77 times, or if he means 70 times seven times, which is, anybody good at math? 70 times seven? A number? 490. Somebody's got a calculator. All right. In his brain. He just looked at Ben's. That's all. Okay. So 490. Now, here's the thing about what Jesus is saying. He's not saying when someone wrongs you, go to your journal, write it down, and keep track of how many times it is that person has done you wrong, and then mark every time you've forgiven them, and once you get to 490, you don't have to forgive them anymore, right? Or 77 times, whichever one it ends up being, okay? The idea that Jesus is trying to get across is don't keep track of how many times you are forgiving someone. Forgive someone. Forgive them. Be a forgiving person. So that's kind of the context that Jesus is going to tell this story. He's going to tell this story, and it's a really neat story. So let's look at it. We're going to give some names to different people just so we don't get confused as we go along. So here we go. Jesus says in verse 23 of chapter 18, he says, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king. All right. Let's give the king a name. What should we name the king? Jeff. I like Jeff. I almost went with Bob when I was thinking about this, but I like Jeff too. My name Jeff. All right. So, King Jeff. All right. Remember him. So, King Jeff, who wished to settle accounts with his servants. So, basically, he, as the king, had loaned out a bunch of money. He wanted to get everything worked out with everybody and get his money back. So, when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, okay? If you remember last time we were together, we looked at that little number or letter that's in your Bible right there. Anybody able to look down at the bottom? Mine has like a 3 right next to the 10,000 talents. 20 years, okay? A talent was a monetary unit worth about 20 years' wages. Now, that's one talent was worth 20 years' wages, okay? This guy owed 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money that this guy owed. Okay, a long time this guy would have to work without taking any of his money. He owed so much. Now, that may or may not be skewed, okay? I know if you ever look at the little footnotes in your Bible, those are not the inspired word of God, okay? That's added in by people who study the Bible in order to help you if you don't spend, you know, a doctorate at Oxford University studying God's word in the original Greek and Hebrew. It helps you to understand what is a talent, because we think of America's Got Talent when we think of talent, and that's not what he's talking about here, okay? So he's putting this in, you know, whoever did the editing in your Bible, they're putting that in as a help. I saw a couple of different stats of people who did, who went and saw, okay, it would be approximately this much money. In a little bit, I'll share with you how much this would be if they were working, all right? But for now, let's keep going. So he, this servant, let's give him a name. What should he be named? Okay, Bob. So the first servant who owes 10,000 talents, his name is Bob. So Bob owed Jeff, King Jeff, 10,000 talents. Okay, verse 25. Since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all they had, and payment to be made. Back in this time, this is how accounts could be settled. Basically, you and your family would be sold off to someone for whatever you would be worth. So if you were a tiny little scrawny guy, guess what? They probably wouldn't think you were a great worker, and so it wouldn't be worth very much. So they'd sell everything you had with you, and your wife and your kids, if you're a guy, and otherwise, your husband could get you into this pickle, and then you'd be all messed up, okay? You could be sold off to someone to settle these accounts. And so the king, he had gone and he said, all right, can't make his payment, so he's going to be sold off with his wife and children and all he had and payment to be made. So the servant, Bob, right, fell on his knees imploring him. Remember, this word means like begging. It's like, please, I mean, crying on his knees, just begging King Jeff, all right? And what does he say? He fell on his knees, and he says, have patience with me. I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master, that's King Jeff, of that servant, Bob, okay, released him and forgave him the debt. Let's pause right there. That's a huge deal, you guys. He forgave him this debt. Bob, the servant, he begged the king, Jeff. Okay, remember, we're adding that in just so we can keep up with people. He begged him to have mercy on him and to be patient with him that he would pay it back. And the king saw this. He had pity on him, and he forgave him of this huge debt that he had. All right? Big deal. This guy had been completely enslaved, was going to be sold off to someone because he could not pay back what he owed, and the king had mercy on him, set him free. And that's just an amazing thing that we get to see his king do. Now, let's look what happens. But when the same servant, okay, Bob, went out, he owed, he found one of his fellow servants. All right, we need to name this guy. Mark. Craig, I like it. Okay, Craig. Mark's good too, but I like Craig, okay? Craig. So he goes out. And he found Craig, who owed him 100 denarii. Now, a denarii was a coin used by the Romans that was worth one day's wage. So if you worked all day, you would get paid one denarii. So this guy had about 3.5 months of wages that he owed to Bob, right? Craig owed this. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe," right? Bob is not like a chill guy. Bob goes after Craig with no chill, starts choking him out and yelling at him to pay what he owes. So his fellow servants, okay, these are other guys, okay, a bunch of other guys. His fellow servants, I lost my place. They saw what had taken place. They were greatly distressed. They went and reported to their master, that's Jeff, right, all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant." Now, who's he talking to there?
Bob.
Okay, he's talking to Bob, the guy who had been forgiven for all of this huge debt that he owed. Okay, he had been forgiven from all of this by the king. And he comes back to him and says, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Now, let's work on that a little bit here, okay? Because when we forgive, Jesus is saying you don't just do it out of some kind of obligation. You know, if you were a little kid and you and somebody got in a fight, this is a funny story, okay? I went to the principal office once when I was in school, in kindergarten, and I went to the principal's office because me and another kid were fighting over a crayon. For real, okay? Here's what had happened. We were doing crafts, coloring, all this kind of stuff, the best of times in kindergarten. And, you know, when you're like, man, I got to work really hard just to stay in the lines, all right? And that's about the hardest thing you have to do when you're five. So we're doing this, and we've got crayons just flying everywhere because, you know, you use it, and then you're like, never need that again. And you just, like, throw it, and there's crayons everywhere. They're rolling off tables and stuff. Well, at the end, the teacher's like, all right, we need to pick up all the crayons. Everybody get as many crayons as you can. And so, I mean, kids are going everywhere, under tables, moving chairs, picking them up. Well, me and this other kid saw this crayon, and this was not just any crayon. This was my favorite color, cerulean, okay? A blue, brighter than every other blue. And I saw it. And this other kid saw it, and we both went for it. I grabbed the little flat end, and he grabbed the pointy end, and we were fighting over it, and, like, shoving each other in the face and just, like, being mean and yelling at each other and going, ah! And, of course, we break it because, I mean, it's, like, wax, and that's all there is. We're fighting over this little crayon, and then we get in trouble. And we're sent to the principal's office because we were fighting over this crayon, right? And like, blowing this way out of proportion. There was no reward for getting as many crayons as